invite you to take your Bibles this morning, if you would, to locate to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Book of Acts, chapter 13. Over the last several weeks, I've been preaching a series of messages on Sunday mornings that I've entitled this series called The Characteristics of a New Testament Church. We've been able to look and see these characteristics in the book of Acts, and now this week and next week, you're going to get to actually see these characteristics in action in our own local church. As we study the Word of God together, we find that God's Word has very clear instructions. And when those instructions are clear, then those instructions should be followed. And many times there are things that we take and we learn by examples. We learn from the work of God and the things that were going on in the church. In the book of Acts, if you were studying it chapter by chapter, and we have taken and studied it like that before, basically the book of Acts is divided in two main sections. Chapters 1 through 12 has Peter and the other apostles as the main focal messengers, and with the message mainly going to the Jewish people. But in Acts 13, from that point forward, there's a change. The man named Saul, who later would be referred to as Paul the Apostle, becomes the main messenger of carrying the message of the church throughout the New Testament world. And instead of carrying just his message just to the Jews, as Peter was instructed in chapter 10, now this message would go to the Gentiles. It would go to the whole world. And so chapter 13 is that point in history where everything changes, the plan of God, the plan of the church. It is here that we will take our passage this morning as we come to this wonderful time in our life of our church, where one who we call our own, she belongs to us now, is now going to leave us for a time and go and share the gospel to people who have never heard. And as we prepare to do that, I think it's very important for us to understand where the great missionary movement began. It is here in Acts 13. After nearly 16 years or more, after the Great Commission was given, that the church finally begins to obey the Great Commission. Would you stand as we honor the Word of God this morning? Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, and we'll simply read down through verse 4. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed from Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Father, in Jesus' name, in the few moments of this very beautiful, wonderful day that you've given us in the Lord's house on the Lord's day, I ask that you just speak to all of our hearts and draw us close to you. Do a work not only in this church, but in all of our churches that are represented here this morning, as we seek to join together, share the gospel around the world. Lord, I just pray that everything that's done and said in this place will give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Lord Jesus, prior to his ascension, gave the church and the disciples their marching orders. Mark records it very simply as a statement: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You would think that the disciples would have immediately begun making plans to go into all the world. You would have thought that they would have begun organizing and planning and raising funds and getting themselves together, but that was not the case. As in the case in many churches, they were focused mainly on themselves. We find that some of the first problems and issues that came up in the New Testament church in the book of Acts early on dealt with internal issues. People complaining because they weren't getting enough ministry. They weren't being visited enough. Or something wasn't being done that they thought should be done. There were those who pretending to be true believers, yet they were not. In fact, we find in Acts chapter 5 that God killed a husband and wife just because they lied about their offering. I'd be scared to be an usher in that church. Man. And it took so much. It even took persecution. It took the martyrdom of Stephen for them to even get out of the Jerusalem area to carry the gospel. But they still had not fulfilled the Great Commission in attempting to go into all the world. Matthew's recorded it as the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 and 20 that we know very well. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That is, make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And then when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, as we have referenced recently in our study, in Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, notice he did not stop there. Jesus could have just said, disciples, you're going to be witnesses. But that's not where he stopped. If you'll notice, first of all, as way of introduction, on the introductory slide, the work of missions is the main work of the church. The reason Jesus left his disciples here was to carry out the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. He did not tell his disciples, gather yourselves together and get yourself a building program. Gather yourselves together and let's have meetings, conferences. Let's organize. Let's plan. Let's get together and have dinners and suppers. And all of those things are good. All of those things have their place. And in reality, all of those things should be about helping the church to do the main work, which is the work of carrying the gospel around the world. But here's what happens. We become self-centered. We become inwardly focused. And instead of carrying out God's marching orders, where he said, be witnesses unto me, he knew he had to be specific. Start in Jerusalem. Spread out to Judea. Go all the way up to Samaria, but don't even stop there. Go to the uttermost part of the earth. When Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1:8 on the top of Mount of Olives to go to the uttermost part of the earth, Christopher Columbus had not sailed across the ocean yet. We didn't know that there was a new world. There were people living in other parts of the world that they didn't even know about. In fact, it took a special vision later on in the book of Acts for even Paul to go over to the continent of Europe in Acts chapter 16. It took them that long. Sad to say, too many churches today are not busy about carrying out the work of God. We love Him. We worship Him. We feel like if we put an offering in the plate that maybe we've done enough. But we need to do more. And what God shows us in this passage of Scripture is that in order to be the New Testament church that God would have us to be, we should always be about sending out others. There are three simple points this morning. Notice number one, they were already ministering. Acts chapter 13 here shows us that in this church at Antioch, by the way, remember now, this is Antioch, not Jerusalem. Antioch was north of Jerusalem. the central mission sending church became Antioch. It is from here that Paul would carry out his three missionary journeys. He would return back and give reports. But it was here that they were already ministering. Notice that. The ones that God had set aside and had for them to go out of the church were the ones who were already working in the church. It seems to me that God was calling out the best teachers and the best preachers to go somewhere else to carry the gospel instead of staying in the church. Funny thing, it seems that that seems to be the prevailing attitude in many circles today. Those who want to do something other than stay within the local congregation, many times people think, well, they're just going because they can't do it any other way. I just personally take the opinion of my missions professor, Brother Gary, at Tennessee Temple, Brother Mickey Johnson, who was a missionary. And our senior year at Tennessee Temple, he was teaching a class, and we signed up and walked in the first day of class. And this class was designed and it was taught as to pastors and future pastors to organize the mission programs of their churches. And this senior level class was to help pastors organize and plan and promote missions in their local church as a pastor. Mickey Johnson walks in and looks at all of us soon to be, hopefully be, one day to be pastors. And he said, let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. I personally believe that God calls the best preachers to be missionaries and go overseas and leaves the rest of you here at home. Hello. But isn't it interesting that God took the best out of the church at Antioch and sent them out of Antioch to go share the gospel? Don't think that you will share the gospel in Africa if you're not willing to share the gospel in Pelzer first. Don't think that you can go overseas and go on a mission trip and be a missionary and share the good news of Christ in other places if you're not willing to do it where you already are now. Amen. It seems to me that God takes the best and the brightest and the most active and takes and sends them somewhere else because He knows they'll do the job over there. If they're willing to do it here, they can do it over there too. They were already ministering. Secondly, not only that, but notice they were called. It's real interesting how we have this because it says in verse 2, the Holy Ghost said, did you catch that? Those of you who have been with us on Wednesday nights in our study on the Holy Spirit, you've probably been catching these things now. But the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Paul, Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. They were called to leave Antioch and go somewhere else. They were called by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It is interesting to note that this mission plan, this mission trip, was not Barnabas and Saul's idea. Excuse me, but the WMU director didn't gather everybody together and says, I think we ought to send out a missionary. That wasn't it. The men's ministry and brotherhood director didn't get all the guys together and says, fellas, we need a missionary. Let's send somebody out. No, that's not what happened. God called them. And when God calls, God has a plan. God has a purpose. And when He took and He said, separate them because I have a work for them to do. I believe that call was something that was in Saul's life even before he knew God. Because of this. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15, Paul writes, God had chosen me from the day of my birth. He told Ananias in Acts 19, he said, Paul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. God knew what he wanted Paul to be from the day of his birth, even before he was born, before the foundation of the world. And by the way, that's the same thing with you today. God knows what he wants to do with you. You need to get on board and find out what it is God wants you to do. It's the same with us. Because Jesus told his disciples in John 15, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and I have ordained you to bear much fruit." The call of God. You see, when God calls us, we must go. There's nowhere in this passage of Scripture that we find Saul and Barnabas when verse 2 arrives and says that the Holy Ghost said to separate them for the work that I've called them. We have nowhere in this passage of Scripture that Saul and Barnabas said, "Well, you know what, God, I think I'll just pray about it for a while. And I'll get back with you and let you know what I decide." I don't know where that heresy of teaching infiltrated our churches generations ago. But we need to get rid of that. Because when God calls you to do something, it is non-negotiable and it is not up for discussion. And we don't need to wait for the vote of a group of people to decide what God's call is on your life. When God calls you to do something, brother, you better get busy doing it. Because Saul and Barnabas at no point in this time had one of those conversations like Moses had at the burning bush. On the backside of the desert, God called Moses, "I want you to go to Egypt. Would you tell Pharaoh to let my people go?" And Moses began to make excuses. And what did God tell Moses? "What you got in your hand, Moses?" "Stick. Throw it down." What happened to the stick? Became a snake. Moses did what everybody should do. He ran. He ran. God has a way of getting your attention. Then God told Moses, "Pick up the snake." Now, this is where me and Moses differ. Me and Moses have big differences of philosophy of ministry. Me and God have to talk about picking up a snake. But they wouldn't have had to done that if Moses had discussed it and argued with him to start with. If he had just done what God told him to do, we wouldn't have had any snakes. But notice lastly, not only were they called, but they were sent. Verse 4. This is something that maybe you didn't catch, and I know out of my study of Scripture several times through this, I think I may have overlooked it. But I want to make this point very clear this morning. It says in verse 4, "So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost." Wait a minute. I thought the WMU was sending them out. I thought the Brotherhood. I thought it was the local missions agency and association that was sending them out. No. It was the Holy Ghost of God that was sending them out. When we go out carrying the gospel, we go out under the authority of God Himself because He's the one that sent us. It is great and it is wonderful, and we will this morning show our support and commitment to one who is going out. But let it be known, we're not the one that called her. We're not the one sending her. God called her. God sent her. We're showing that we're on the side of God in this. Amen. It's not us doing the sending and the calling. When it gets to the point that we think we're the ones in charge of the mission program of the Word of God and the New Testament church, then we've got a huge problem. But it is God that sent them out. We find in verse 3 something very beautiful that takes place. We saw something similar in Acts 6 when the deacons, first deacons, were selected. And we'll have a part of that type of service next Sunday. But there was something very special and something in their cultural thinking that when they came together as a body of believers to get in on the program that God had called and God had sent, that there was a sign of commitment and support to show them, hey, we want to encourage you as you go. I believe we ought to give more than we do. I believe we ought to pray. I believe we ought to pray more than we do. But it does not stop there. Our obligations as a New Testament church is not to stop at just the going, the giving and the praying, but it has to be all about who else is going to be going. What we're seeing this morning is something that should not be rare in a church, but it should be the norm. It should be how many more are going. Because the sign of a spiritually healthy church is that people are being sent out from the church to do the work that God has called them to do. That's a sign of a healthy church. Because this is not a country club. We're not here to enjoy the memberships and receive benefits because we've joined. This is a church. This is God's church. It is God's program for carrying His message of the gospel around the world. So this morning, I want to ask Amber if she would to come up to the front. And if you would, the red microphone here for me, Tracy, please. Thank you. I know, Amber, many of us have heard. Go, come up here. I want you up here at your poster here. Okay? No, you're good. I know many of us have heard several things, but for the benefit of those who have not, please tell us where you're going, the name of the countries, how long you're going to be in all these places, what it is that you're going to be doing, and why you think and why you believe this is what God's called you to do.
Okay. Well, hi, I'm Amber, in case some of you guys didn't know that.
Hi, Amber. Just participate, okay?
That's all I'm asking. I mean, yes, I actually leave September 11th from Atlanta to spend 1 month in Costa Rica, 1 month in Nicaragua, 2 months in Ethiopia, 2 months in Nepal, and 3 months in the Philippines. I will be going with 42 other people from 18 to 22 is the age range. And then we're then divided up into teams of 6 to 7, and there's 7 teams in total. And if you can like come up here and see, I am on an all-girls team, so here they all are, all beautiful and wonderful. And yes, when we go to each country, we will be partnering with a ministry that's already there to just help and grow their and further their ministry. And so in Costa Rica, we already know our first ministry is we're going to be teaching English there to some of the local kids. And yeah, and what else?
What else are you going to be doing?
We don't know until we actually get there, till each month comes up. And yes.
Okay. Now, how can we follow you along the way?
Yes. Through the organization, I have a blog page that I will be putting up blogs throughout the entire time, so you guys can follow and see what God's doing through all of us and through my teammates as well. I encourage you to follow them and see what God's doing through their personal journey.
That's wonderful. Here's what I want you to do. Scott is coming to place the chair. And I want you to sit in the chair, please, for us, please. This part of the service is what I think is going to be one of the most wonderful and memorable parts. Because the New Testament says here that when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So here's what we're going to do this morning as a New Testament church. We're going to begin with our deacons. Brother Scott, who is rotating off now as our chairman, is going to begin this time. Those men who are serving now, David, Bill, come on up. Monty is out of town. Our two new guys who will be joining us next week have their ordination. Joe and Gary, I want you to come as well. And then all other men who have served and been ordained in this church as deacons, who are present this morning, all you fellas, I want y'all to come on down and get behind them. So go ahead and line up. Okay? Whether you served now or last year or 20 years ago, it doesn't matter. I want you to be a part of this. And there's in the back. And then this is what we're going to do. I don't read this passage as saying that only the deacons and the pastor laid hands on them. It seems to indicate everybody did. So I'm going to ask our youth to line up behind our deacons. Andrew, girls, y'all line up behind our deacons, all of our youth, Landon, Chandler, all you guys. And Amber, you got some special friends that have joined you here today. We'd like for you to participate in this as well. So if you'll line up with our youth, and then this is what we're going to do. We're going to lay hands and pray. Just a short prayer, okay? Because remember, she leaves Thursday. Okay? She leaves Thursday. So here's what we're going to do. Starting from back there at the back, and anyone who is willing to do this, Kathy on this side, Homer, Jesse, Wayne, Ronnie, Nancy, backside, Tracy, even you in the sound room, and anyone in the back. Start from there, and as the line moves up, I just want you to fall in. Anyone who is willing just to come and say a prayer for Amber, you don't have to say it out loud to everybody else to hear, just whisper a prayer in her ear, tell her you love her, tell her you're going to be praying for her. And that's all you need to do, okay? And if you want to pray over her for a minute, go ahead and do it. If you just want to come and just express your love to her and just give her a hug, and you just feel free to do that. Vicki, you're going to play something softly. And then I will close. I'll be the last one once everybody's had a chance, and we'll work our way forward to you folks at the front. Whether you're a visitor today or a member, it doesn't matter. We want you to be a part of this. How often do you get to be a part of sending someone away to go to 5 countries in 9 months to share the gospel with people who've never heard? 5 countries in 9 months. And I want you to be a part of this. This is like the book of Acts. Isn't this wonderful? This is what being a New Testament church is. So Scott, begin. David, you follow. Y'all follow him. Begin. Mom and dad. And Amber, when God called me to preach when I was 10 years old, I didn't know exactly where all that would lead. I had no idea it would be to a town called Pelzer. But during all these years that I've been pastoring, I've always asked God to take and allow me to have the privilege to send people out. I was able to do that in our other church. We had a short-term mission group to go to Spain and Gibraltar and Morocco, and the plan was that I was going to get to go with them. But at the time, my wife was expecting our daughter, and it was too near the due date for me to be in Morocco at the time of that, so I missed out on that. But I've prayed that God will allow me to be a part of sending someone from this church to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and share the gospel. You have helped fulfill one of my dreams, okay? And I want you to know that. But during this journey that you have been experiencing these last few months, God has brought people into your life that you did not know before. He has sent you financial help that you didn't even know from places you didn't even know where it came. Still to this day, there's some places you don't know where some of this money's come. I want you to remember that as you go, because that is the same thing that's going to happen these next 9 months. God is going to bring people in your life that you never met before. God is going to use people in your life that you don't even know. And God is going to provide for you in ways that you don't even know where it comes from. Okay? So that's going to continue to help you on your journey. But I don't want you to ever forget what happened this morning in this building. And no matter how hard it is, and no matter if it's not going the way you thought it would, and no matter how things may be happening along the way, never forget what happened in this building this morning. Because it is God that's called you. It's God that sent you out. And we as a body of believers are showing that we're on the same mission as God is. And we want to be a part of that. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Fathers, I come before you this morning as pastor of the local church. As we prepare to send one out from among us to go and do your work that you've called her to do. I pray for Amber. I thank you for her heart. I thank you for her life, for her love for you. And I pray that you'll use this precious young lady to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There'll be boys and girls who will learn English. And by learning English, they'll learn that Jesus loves them. There'll be children who will receive food and kind attention. They'll get to play games and have fun, and then she'll be able to sit down and tell them of God's wonderful plan for their lives. How that He sent His only Son to this world to be their Savior. So we send Amber out from us. We will miss her, but we will pray for her every day. We will support her and encourage her in any way that she needs. Lord, I've asked these parents to stand here with me this morning because we pray for them too. For a mom and dad to say goodbye to their daughter and not see her again for 9 months, it's not an easy thing to do. But to know that she's going places they've never been, doing things they've never done, not exactly sure how it's all going to turn out on this side. Lord, I just want to lift up these precious parents to know that she's in God's hands every moment of the day. And therefore, she's safe. And everything is okay. I want to encourage their hearts. Thank you for Keith and Susan. I pray your blessings to be upon them. In these days, Lord, I know it's been difficult comprehend this whole journey, but now as it's beginning to happen and the day is arriving, Lord, give them a special measure of grace. Give them a special measure of strength that only you can give. Let them also know too, we're praying for them and lifting them up. So Lord, on this day, we send her out as you have sent her out. And we do it with confidence and faith that we are fulfilling your plan for this church to be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, I pray that through Amber, others will be called out as well. That others will go. Others will feel the call and respond. And they too will leave from this place to go share your gospel. And all this is said and done, we give you honor and praise and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. All right. You can stand up now.